something, especially when they're promoting themselves, we have to ask, is it really true? Is that a fair question? How do we know? How do we know if it's true? Well, I've heard it said that the best argument in favor of Christianity is a loving and lovable Christian. And so maybe, just maybe, if we can find evidence that time in the Bible has made a difference in someone's life and changed them and transformed them, then maybe that'll give us some validity to this claim. Does that make sense? So I'm going to tell you a story. Once upon a time, when I was a young Tom, as I said, I grew up in Sonora. I came from a pretty normal Christian Seventh-day Adventist family. We would go to church. We would go to the Christian school. We had our Christian circle of friends. I forgot to tell you, I don't know if you know this or not, I'm the son of Jim and Nicole Gearing, grandson of Grandpa Gearing, and also of Wendy and Victor Rivera. So I grew up in this community. My dad's a dentist, my mom's a teacher, and this was our culture, this was our life. But to be perfectly honest, I think our Christianity was a little bit more cultural than it was built out of a conviction and commitment to a relationship with Christ. Does that make sense? So we lived in this culture where these were the things that you do, and that was what was comfortable to us, and so those were the things that we did. We are good people, we're not bad people, but we were living our lives based on the culture of our environment rather than this is the conviction that I am following. And that started to change for me at a specific time. I was in sixth grade, when my teacher and our youth pastor, Ellen Park, was here at the time. Mrs. Garcia was a fifth and sixth grade teacher. I don't know which one or both or how many times or when, but it was communicated to me somehow that as a Christian, I ought to have a relationship with Christ. Is that mind-blowing? Well, it was new to me then. And so, of course, how do you have a relationship with Christ? What are the things you need to do? Pray and read the Bible. And I said, okay, guess what? I guess I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian, so I better do these things. And this was easy for me to jump in and do. Praise the Lord, I had an example of my parents that of reading their Bibles. And so I just started reading the Bible in the evenings before I would go to bed. I was a fairly mischievous child around that age, as some of my teachers might attest to. To give you an example of this, back in the day, the hospital, which was there, used to provide our hot lunches for the school. And they would give you this entree, a little side, and then a small salad. And with the salad would come a dressing packet. You seen those? Well, once upon a time, we were walking from our fifth and sixth grade classroom out to the park. And as I was walking, I came upon a dressing packet. Now you finish the story. A sixth grade boy sees a ranch dressing packet on the ground. What happens next? Right? And who is standing right beside him? Very good, the teacher. And which way does the ranch dressing spray? All over the teacher. She did not appreciate this and thought I did it deliberately to be a nuisance. I don't know. I just had tunnel vision. But it was around that same time that it was communicated to me that those who have a relationship with, who are Christians, have a relationship with Christ, and that is done through studying the Bible and through praying. I took this super literally and logically. Before I'd go to bed each night, I'd open up the Bible and I would read a chapter or two and pray. I'd heard that the Old Testament was hard, so I started in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew. And that first night, I open my Bible to Matthew chapter 1, and I read 1 and 2, and I pray. And I can tell you, honestly, heaven didn't open, light didn't stream down upon my Bible, I didn't have little bunny rabbits and butterflies singing angelic tunes. It was pretty commonplace. I read, I prayed, I went to bed. Guess what? The second day, I open up my Bible and I read chapters 3 and 4, and then pray and go to bed. Third day, open up my Bible, read chapters 5 and 6, pray, go to bed. But you know what happened on the fourth day? Same thing. I open my Bible and I pray and I go to bed. And you know what this did for me? This started me off on this process of getting to know God. It provided for me a time and a place when I was intentional about listening to Him. And it connected me to the source, the main source by which He communicates to us, which is through His Word. And so, while there wasn't a change in my life the next day or the next week or, you know, next month, this started the process that transformed my life. Does that make sense? And so, as we continue through my story, I have found that spending time in God's Word started to ground me. It started to change me. It modified my desires and the things that I would want. And it provided me the opportunity to be convicted and hear God's Word. Here's an example. When this was still in sixth grade, we were sitting right up by the classroom, the 5 and 6 classroom, and my friends and I were listening to music. Back then, our music wasn't the best. It sometimes would have a good message, and most time not, and always would find a vulgar way to communicate it. And my friend turned to me just randomly, and he's like, "Tom, I'm surprised you listen to this music." And I was kind of taken back, and I was like, "Why? I mean, this is the music we like. That's what we listen to. I mean, that we like it, right? That's what we do." And he says, "You're a Christian." And that was just like so weird for me. I thought, what does that matter? But this started a process of a train of thought, and it led to a time where in my time of prayer and study at night, no one told me what I should or shouldn't do, but there was just this conviction placed on my heart that the things that I listen to should reflect the values that I believe. Because music is a powerful communicator, and if you're filling your life with it, it will change the way you think. So fill your life with stuff that thinks the way you want to think. And I'd have never had that conviction if 3 years earlier I didn't sit down and open my Bible and read Matthew chapter 1, and then the next day read Matthew chapter 2, and then the third day, and so on. See, I think this is not necessarily something new. Most of you have probably heard that you ought to read your Bible and to pray. And so I realize that I'm not communicating to you something you haven't heard, but hopefully I can inspire you to put this as a specific time in your life that changes daily practice, because I have found personally that there is power in spending time in God's Word. As I said, it grounded me, it changed the way that I perceive things and my convictions, and it also was starting to change my desires. Rather than just wanting things that I want, I started to want the things that God wanted for me. I remember one night I was laying in my bed, and I had read, after I finished the New Testament, I went to the Old Testament and started reading through the Old Testament. For those of you doing that, and you hit Leviticus and Numbers, I've been there, it's hard. Push through if you need to. But I made it to the book of 1 Samuel. And in 1 Samuel chapter 3, we find the call of Samuel. And it's this beautiful story how the boy Samuel hears God calling to him. He listens to his mentor Eli, and he answers back, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And that begins the dialogue and communication for Samuel, who becomes Samuel the prophet, and he's an amazing leader for Israel. And I just read this story, and I just remember having this burning desire in my heart to hear God. And I was crying out to him, "God, why don't you speak to me? It would be so much easier. It doesn't really matter what you say, just talk to me." And I was repeating the words that Eli gave to Samuel, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And I was listening. You know what happened next? I went to sleep. Even though I had this deep longing to hear God's voice, and I was like almost angry at him for not listening, not angry in like the mad sense, but just in the intense sense. And I wanted to hear his voice, and I went to bed that night not hearing a thing. So do you know what happened the next day? I read 1 Samuel chapter 4, and the next I read 1 Samuel chapter 5, and I continued reading the Bible and praying. And as we follow my life through the book of Jeremiah is where it gets interesting. As I was reading Jeremiah's call, I read the words of God to Jeremiah, how God had a very special plan for him. And that he was calling him to a specific work, to do a special thing, and that it didn't matter that he was young. And I can't tell you how, but somehow I knew and I felt it in my heart that those words to Jeremiah were God's words to my heart. What if 6 years earlier, when I started reading the Bible each night and praying, what if after 2 weeks I just gave up? Rather than having a testimony of time with God changes lives, my testimony would have been, I tried it out and it didn't work. I had a friend in college who wanted to gain a relationship with God. And it was great, awesome. Praise the Lord. I'm with you, Mike. This is what you do. You know what to do. I mean, he knew what to do. I didn't tell him. And he started reading his Bible, and he started praying. He started having a devotional life. And after about a week, he was like, "Tom, this is getting hard. I feel like the devil's making it harder. He's attacking me. There's some stuff Mike was struggling with, and I'm encouraging him. Keep going. God's with you." I was praying for him. Week two goes by. It got harder, and he stopped. And that would have been my story, too. But what I have found is that having created the opportunity for God to speak to me each day, once in a while, there's a moment where I know He does, even though He's shaping me all the time. So when I come down to it, and I look back in my life, and I try to see what has happened and where I've grown, this is what I can conclude, that for me, all Scripture seems to be inspired of God, and in my life, it has definitely been profitable for doctrine and correction and instruction in righteousness, and it has worked in a powerful way to complete me, to make me who God wants me to be, to equip me for the whatever task it is that He had ahead of me. When God called me, when I felt that call in my life, when I was reading the book of Jeremiah, I had no idea. I wasn't planning on being a pastor, and it didn't matter. I had given my life to, I said, okay, God, I answered the call with an affirmative, wherever you take me. And at that point, I was thinking more in the medical field, and God calls people there too. This just happens to be where I am. And I'm not sharing this story with you to tell you, oh, look at our new associate pastor. He's got it figured out. But my hope is to inspire you to spend time with God each day when it's hard or when it's easy. To spend time in prayer each day, whether you feel like it or you don't. Because if you stick to it through the long haul, and you're creating for yourself this opportunity of time and place to hear God and listen to His voice. And thus we get to know God and we are changed into His image. Life wasn't always easy for my family and I, as I'm from a family that is divorced. We've had times that are rougher than others with anger and alcohol and drugs. And that will take you up and down and up and down. But by the time this stuff, I had been in the Bible for a couple of years and I had begun to be changed. And so the way that I responded to this stuff was not in anger as some people do. Others responded other ways, but God had worked in my heart a miracle, and so love was in my heart for the people in my life, and I was praying for them, and I was longing for them. And so not only has it given me a time and a place to hear God, not only has it grounded me, given me a foundation, but it is also given me the keel or the guideline, so that when life goes up and down, which it does, as Paul described very clearly, we don't have to go up and down because we have a foundation in God. Does that make sense? And by the way, I can tell you too, praise Jesus. God has worked in amazing ways in my family's life as well. My parents, I love them dearly, and I'm so proud of them. They run the Celebrate Recovery here at our church, helping others who struggle with addiction. And helping, by the way, the Celebrate Recovery program is not just for someone who's got some drugs or alcohol, but it's designed to help those who need it to connect with God in a fuller, richer way. This world is full of sin. Sin hurts and leaves scars. And sometimes it's harder to connect to God for us that provides an environment and steps for that. That's my shameless plug. And my parents will tell you that for them, if they spend a day and they don't start it with Jesus in the morning, well, we won't go there. So here's the thing. This is a book that contains stories and letters and messages and songs and all kinds of other things. It was inspired by God for the purpose of correction and instruction, so you could learn and know and grow. And it's through time in this word and through prayer that we are grown into the person that God has called us to be. I couldn't think of anything more important to knowing God than spending time in God's word. And so I hope is to inspire you to do that each and every day. For those of you who haven't made that a practice, today's the day. Start it now. For those of you who have been going, keep going. God is growing you and he is changing you. And by the way, for a long time, my practice was just reading the Bible a chapter or two at a time. And I went through the whole Bible a couple times that way. But there's a point when that can, you know, there are other ways to study the Bible than just rogue reading. And if you've been studying the Bible for a while and you feel like maybe it's not quite so vital to you as it once was, and you'd like to change up your routine and learn some new ways to study, I'd be happy to sit down and talk with you and just share some things that I have learned. I'm not telling you this to say that I've made it or I've gotten there, but to give glory to God for the testimony of a life changed through time in his word. And if there's anything from my life that could be a blessing to yours, I'm happy to share things that I have learned as well.